Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Yeah, Drew, man.
All I did was dream about it. All Drew's right. Very serious about starting this show and everything.
Drew does not mess around. We'll get him back at the back half of the show. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. We are trying desperately to make today make sense every single day.
Man! And just when we think the news is going to calm down, it doesn't. I'm Molly Wood. It's Happy Hour Friday. Economics on tap, as we like to call it. We have the live stream up and running. As well, for those of you watching on YouTube, thanks for joining us. Shout out to Kimberly Adams in her Manhattan in the YouTube chat. I saw you. I see you.
Awesome.
I see you, girl.
Yeah.
When I'm pointing, by the way, to the side, it's because I have the YouTube and the chat up over here, but the camera's over here. So that's why it's a little confusing sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what's happening. YouTube, real-time video producing.
Yeah.
What are you having?
So we're going to do what we do, which is a little bit of the news. We'll share our beverages of choice today. I was just lamenting before we actually turned on the microphones that I'm out of bourbon, which is kind of a drag. What is that hissing?
I'm
is that
about
you?
To. No, that's the jackhammers, which I thought were done. I literally was like, oh, good. They're taking them up to the cars. And they're not. Otherwise, I would have been like, stop, take your break in 5 minutes. We'll deal. I'm good at the mute. Yeah. It doesn't seem to be quite as intense now as it was. But yes, that's the hissing that you hear. Yeah.
It's vaguely there. All right. So what are you drinking? We were talking about this before we started. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing because it turns out that the YouTube chat is on the same wavelength as me about Brown Liquor Friday because I'm having some Booker's Small Batch Bourbon with two ice cubes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's the good stuff. It was a housewarming gift, kind of, like a little good stuff. Good.
I might have to go out. I might have to go out. I'm having
just wear your N95 and a cloth over it.
I will. Or I'll send my son in. No, I'm just kidding. I won't because he's not old enough anyway. Trogs Brewery out of Pennsylvania, Perpetual IPA. Excellent choice.
My cousin
in Hershey, PA sent me this tea. Oh, yeah. Beers come in cans now. That's like the hip thing. It's been a while. Surprise you don't.
I mean, I know they did. I've just never seen you with one. You don't drink it out of the can, though, right? You're a pour it in a glass.
Oh, no. I'm a glass guy. I'm a glass guy.
Yeah.
What do you like news wise?
Time for the news. I like. The only story that I care about that I'm obsessed with. I remain obsessed with everything related to stonks.
There it is.
And there it is. I have attempted.
Chris from Twitter who tracked me down. I'm not saying it. Molly's saying it. Okay, go ahead.
There should be. They're all saying that there should be a stonk cocktail. And guys, you're missing out here. It's stonk tail. Come on.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So whoever invents the stonk tail, I'll have it on Friday, next Friday. I have attempted to distill, if you will, no pun intended. Oh. This story down to just the few parts that I think are interesting. One, of course, is watching just my financial advisor, who I've gone to for a lot of background advice on this stuff, just sort of come to the realization upon seeing Robinhood take out $1 billion in lines of credit that they probably were not well capitalized enough to cover all the trades they had allowed to be made on their platform. Just sent him. He was like, I don't care if the barbarians storm the castle. Fine. What I do care is get your business house in order. Like, he was just horrified by it. And so he sent me a bunch of gifts of things of running away from the Robinhood IPO, should it eventually come, if they are not destroyed by all of this. But what I specifically found interesting was the Wall Street Journal report today saying that Citron Research, the founder of whom is Andrew Left, who has been the target of a lot of harassment, not, you know, not okay, right? Doxing, threatening his kids, like tons of harassment over shorts, has now announced that the firm will no longer be publishing short seller reports. The firm will pivot to providing insight into companies that the firm thinks investors should buy, Mr. Left said. The risk reward, he's quoted by saying, the risk reward of being a short seller is not worth it. It's not worth it for me or my family, he said in an interview, which I think is remarkable for a lot of reasons. One, I think that I have this theory that some of the rage, a lot of the rage about short sellers that contributed to this specifically is about Tesla. Like, if you see the kind of behavior and the and the crossover of people in Wall Street Bets, I think a big part of this was driven by this, like, long simmering rage that Elon Musk has cheerfully stoked about all of these people aggressively shorting Tesla. And there are elements of this that have, like, a big kind of like a fanboy vibe, right? This is the stuff that we love. Yep. We love video games and we love 90s era brands. We love the movies. And I made an offhand comment the other day that, like, well, look, if this is, if, you know, when firms so aggressively short stocks that they've shorted 140% of their outstanding value, or they're trying to drive them out of business and it feels really unfair, and a bunch of Wall Street, like, Bets Redditors come and punish them badly for it, that, that to me is like the market working. Like, we don't need any, we don't need any regulation for that. That's like balance and a counterbalance. Which I guess is why I found it notable that in this case, this guy's like, all right, I'm out. This is too dangerous. However, he also said, and then I promise I'll let you talk. He also said, we have uncovered a lot of fraud. I know, I'm just exactly ranting. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Yes, no, that's good. Go ahead.
Good.
Well, no.
No,
so what I was going to, I was going to say two things. Number one, shorting does provide a market service, right? It sniffs out those frauds, and then those frauds get shut down. Most notably recently, Valiant went under and had to change its name, and, like, bad things happened to it because it had accounting frauds and scandals, and that was a big one. Bill Ackman is a notable short guy with Herbalife. So shorts provide a market function, okay? And we need to be clear about that. And shorting is not dead. Just super, super quickly and technically on this whole, they were short 140% of the outstanding flow to this company. That's okay. That. Happens a lot. Happens a lot because let's remember when you short a stock, you borrow a stock. But let's say somebody else wants the short a stock and they go to you and they borrow that stock that you borrowed. Stocks can be borrowed more than once.
That's how it works?
Yes. Yes.
So it's like when my money is in the bank and the bank invested or loans it out.
In the bank. Yes.
And my money's not technically in the bank until I need it. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Good explainer. And just the only this long. You're so good at stuff.
anyway, so yes, look, I totally agree with you that this story is fascinating. I tried really hard today to kind of tune it out because it became a little bit all consuming yesterday, and I couldn't really think of anything else because it's so car crashy, right? And it says a lot of things about a lot of things, right? Society and Wall Street, the rich and the poor, inequity, unfairness, right? In addition to just the market mania part of this thing, right? There's that, but there's also this other thing that's going on here, which is we're in a pandemic and there's a recession and 400,000 people are dying and we haven't been out of our house in 9 months. And what is this stupid GameStop thing? You know?
Yeah.
So, yes, this is a big deal.
But they're all of a piece, though.
But, yeah. No, I totally agree, right? Because, in part, because we haven't been out of our houses, people are like, what can I do to entertain myself? I'm going to go on Reddit and go to Wall Street Bets and buy shares of GameStop. I totally get that. But in macroeconomic terms, this is a tiny little thing still. Now, when people start thinking about how to regulate this, because Elizabeth Warren is this morning all over the SEC, and Gary Gensler, when he gets into the SEC, is going to have his hands full with this stuff because Congress and the Dems and AOC and, oh, by the way, some Republicans too are going to be like, what is going on with this thing? And that's totally fair. Yeah. But for now, it's the car crash aspect of it, right? Which is just, oh, man, cannot look away.
It is. And it's intense. I would say it's even more intertwined than just people being bored at home. I think there's like, I mean, there's all the kind of simmering rage from 2008 that's a part of it. You've probably seen some of the tweets going around today that are like, this is for my dad who lost his house and is now, you
totally.
Know.
Totally.
Dead drunk and waiting to die. And my uncle lost his house too. And like, I don't care if these hedgies go down. And so there's this kind of, there's like the populist warfare part of it. And then there's also the kind of rage about everything, the psychic rage, and certainly people being stuck at home, but people being stuck at home and mad that no help has come from the government when they have all lost their jobs. And so it is like definitely, I think the entire thing is of a piece and could almost only happen right now, which is what makes it fascinating. But yes, I agree. I also got way too consumed by it last night.
Yeah. A very brief detour to the YouTube comments. When Kimberly Adams, first time listener, long time caller, take your pick. The stunk cocktail, she says, does indeed need some hedge clippings in the mix. That's pretty good.
Oh my God, you're so smart.
That was pretty good.
Love it. Yep. Stunk tail though.
Yep.
I'm gonna insist on stunk tail. Yep. That's all I got. Yeah. I have this other thing here, but I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm not gonna do mine either, because mine was sort of silly and macro and yours is very on point. And I think it's in both of our lanes and we both have strong feelings about it. And this is absolutely not the last time we're gonna talk about this or any of those other issues. So
yeah, I actually thought, to your exact sentiment, I thought to myself, are people tired of this? Is it too is it too trivial considering everything that is going on? And then I thought to myself, you know what? I am going to allow myself to indulge in this thing for one more day because
for sure.
I have a little news high about it. But I also think it's so relevant to all of the trends that have gotten us to the places that we are in so many ways. And
yeah,
it's a revolution.
Totally get it.
Like, we should not leave this thing. We should not. I got to say, I told you so to my financial advisor today, too, because when I brought it up to him Monday, he was like, I'm like, look at how down the stock market is today. I was like, is today the day that I can say I told you so? Because feelings. Everybody's freaked.
Yeah, yeah. I think people are freaked. I think that was a little part of the market today. I think there were some other things going on. But certainly the idea that hedge funds now have to draw down billions and billions of dollars means that they have to liquidate other positions, right? To cover those shorts, as we talked about yesterday, the upside loss on a short is conceivably infinity. So yeah, there's certainly some of that as well.
Also, just so you know, on isthesqueezesquozyet.com, still no.
Yeah, well, look, GameStop was up like, 60-something% today. We're not done.
I know.
We're not done. BlackBerry, I'm sure was up. Nokia, I'm sure was up. AMC, I'm sure was up.
Yeah. GME shorts have not begun to close their positions in substantial numbers. Well, and GME hasn't taken out any new capital against this or issued new shares, so they're not capitalizing on it. So probably the shorts are
Which is really interesting, right? If you're the CEO of GameStop right now and your stock is through the roof, how are you not sitting there with some prospectus ready to go saying, here we are, a billion new shares or whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Like you just won the lottery. God gave you a second chance in the form of a Reddit mob, and you are not prepared to capitalize on it. And if that is the case, then the shorts are right about you. Because you don't have your secret business plan ready to go.
What wouldn't you give to be a fly on the wall of their offices down in Texas as they, 10 days ago started seeing this happening and just were like, what do we do?
I know. They better be working on their pivot right now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Have we beaten that horse enough, do we think?
I think we have. Thank you for letting me have one more day.
Okay.
One more day.
No. Look, you were right and I was overly cautious. That's legit.
It happens. I'll just be here to beat the dead horse anytime you need me.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay. Time to have some fun. We're not even doing Make Me Smile anymore on Fridays, you guys, because our new game is so much more fun. Hit the sting.
Yep. Oh, I forgot this. Oh, my goodness.
We have a sting.
Okay, it's half full, half empty. Drew Jostedt is the guest star today, as he is every Friday, in the studio down in L.A. He says something and Molly and I react. Ready, Drew, go.
Are you half full or half empty on outdoor dining?
Oh.
I'm half full.
So it's back in California.
It's back.
Are you really? Are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
How come?
Because when California state officials were asked, And now you know me to be cautious on the topic.
I do.
Of yes. the virus and not spreading the virus. When California state officials.
Me, yes. Sorry.
I'm like super fired up this week.
A little bit.
I really have
Let me rep your knuckles, son.
Sometimes
anyway, go ahead.
You really know that you're in the right job. And the news high that I have had this week tells me that there is no job I will ever be able to do than this. When California state officials were asked by reporters, when they instituted this latest lockdown, they were asked, mm-hmm. do you have data that shows that outdoor dining or indoor services with masks spreads COVID-19? They did not. Like, I don't think that outdoor dining, there so far, there does not seem to be evidence that it spreads the virus in big amounts. And on top of that, it appears to have driven people to parties at their houses that do spread the virus because you're inside and you take your mask off and you're just like, that's fine. Well, like a bunch of us will have dinner. And I think if we are at the point where we're in a slightly risk-risk universe and we don't have evidence that compared to churches or bars or indoor parties at your house, outdoor dining spreads it, then like let some businesses live and let some people go out to dinner. I'm going out to dinner. I'm going to freeze my butt off in 35 degrees, maybe, possibly.
All right. I'm half empty, and I think I'm half empty because of the reason that we've talked about a little bit before about the social anxiety of going out again. I'm still a little weirded out. You know, being that close to a random person who comes to take my order and wearing a mask and a face guard. And I'm half empty. Anyway, Drew, go.
Buy American.
Oh, man. So President Biden this week, as have I can't even tell you how many presidents before him, including President Trump, signed an order today that said you got to buy, not today, this week, or maybe in the last 10 days, whatever, said you got to buy American. It expanded the definition of what constitutes an American product. And it's just really hard to do because we're a globalized economy. I mean, yes, I'm half full in principle, but I'm half empty in execution.
Yeah. I feel like I'm like half empty on supply, which is the problem. I'm half full on onshoring, right? And having a more balanced economy.
Yeah.
But on this, the kind of pretty simplistic idea that you can just buy American.
Yeah.
God, it feels really not okay to say half empty, but I guess that's what I just said. So I'm going to own it.
Yeah.
Own it. See? And I'm already getting yelled at about the restaurant thing. You know what? Don't yell at me.
You know what? Yeah.
Are you half full or half empty on the Harriet Tubman news?
Oh, Harriet Tubman being back on track to get on the $20 bill after Steven Mnuchin and the Trump administration slow rolled it. Half full, please. Please,
all
please,
full.
Please. Come on. Let's go.
Every part of full.
It's overflowing. Overflowing.
Yep. Easy one.
Okay. That was quick. Super Bowl commercials.
Oh. So my brother-in-law is a creative type, and we had him over. I mean, look, I've known this guy for 25 years now, and we had him and his family over 8 or 10 years ago for a Super Bowl party, and we had TiVo'd it because Super Bowl comes on at a stupid early time. Also, you can tell how long ago this was because I said TiVo.
I know, TiVo.
I know, right? Comes on at a stupid early time in California, and so we were playing it back on tape. And we get to the first commercial break, and I go, boop, 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 and to fast forward through it. And he looks at me and goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? And so like we watched all the commercials. I got nothing for Super Bowl ads. I could not care. I'm drained empty. Tip it over and turn it out. Yeah. I'm drained. I don't care.
You know me on this show, you and the audience, to be a big sports fan. And I will tell you that in pandemic times, I know that the return of sports in some form has been like a lifeline for people. I could not care less. I just feel like there's no weight behind it. There's no import, even though it should be the thing that entertains me. The fact that it even exists to me is just like so indulgent. And I
did you not
be bothered?
Did you not watch in the bubble and the NBA? And they did a nice job. I mean, they did a really nice job, right?
Yeah. I did fine. And it was the weirdest thing. It was like it had no stakes for me. It was a very strange thing, I know. And so I finally, thanks to my brother constantly, and also I'm not pro. I'm not. I'd given up on football several years ago because I'm just like, oh, you and your domestic violence. Yeah. Like, I'm not having it. I feel very proud that I gave up on football even before Kaepernick came along. And so then I could be like, told ya. So I just don't feel that much connection to it anyway. And then, yeah, I think the ads this year are just going to be like, I can't even imagine the degree of like performative whatever that is going to be a part of these ads. And I'm just not having it. I'm not interested.
Well, that's part of the news, right? That's why Drew asked, because Budweiser this year, for the first time in umpty frats years, made a big show of, oh, we're not going to do the Clydesdales and spend that money. We're going to spend that on COVID. And you're like, okay, fine, that's great. But you're a multi-bazillion
dollar
company.
Also, seriously.
Give it up more than just the ads, right? Come on.
All right, what else we got?
All right, do we have another one, Drew?
I guess we kind of already talked about this, but you got me a half full or half empty on Wall Street.
I mean, Wall Street's always going to win. Let's be clear. Like, the house always wins. I don't know if that's a half full or a half empty.
Yeah, I think I'm half full and half empty. Look, Wall Street has really big structural problems, some of which we're seeing this week, but it also moves capital through this economy in ways that let stuff happen. I'm yes. Half full, half empty? Yes. How about that? Can we do that? I guess that's the end of the segment.
Well okay. played. Way to hack the game. Way to hack the game, Riz. Love it.
Oh, man.
We are, All right. That is it for us.
Yeah.
Love the Friday show. Thanks for tuning out on YouTube. It's okay if you yell at me. I get it. It's fine. And just to be clear, that none of that should be taken as health advice. It's just my feelings. We will be back on Monday. For now, please send us your questions, your comments. Hit us up at makemesmartonmarketplace.org. Yell at me if you want to. I can totally take it. I have dinosaur skin. I've been on the internet for a long time.
That was very teacher voice right there. That was very inside teacher voice. I can take it. That's fine.
I can take
it. Make Me Smart is produced and produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera, who usually at this point on a Friday is like, what am I even doing with this company? Tony Wagner is our producer. We're going to get digital out of there because anybody doing analog these days? Ben Hethcote and Stephen Bion are our video producers. Erica Phillips does our newsletters. Also, the Make Me Smart skill on your smart devices.
Dude, Erica Phillips does so much. Like the sheer volume of things.
That's what I want to know.
Like she just, every time there's a new thing, she's doing that newsletter too. Anyway, today's program was engineered by co-star Drew Jostad. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Senior producer Donna Tam, the executive director of Random House, Attorney of Us. It's still going.
I think only the dogs heard that one.
That counted.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.